Good morning. How are you all today? Ready for a little melodrama? How many of you are ready to boo this whole thing with Herod? Is he like a villain or what? Please seat. We all like to have good guys and bad guys to organize our moral position in the universe. And as nations go, we take up sides, as I took up sides when I inadvertently ended up at MaraCosta and saw Redondo as the arch enemy of all time and could hardly wait to beat them down on the field in a righteous but loving way. And Herod, he had a pretty lousy role model. You know who his dad was? Herod the Great. You remember the guy when he heard rumors that Jesus was going to be born? He went out and had all the children who were male under a certain age killed. That was his daddy. So his future was beginning to be made, but all of our futures are made one choice at a time. And we can be bent by the wind of our environment, or we can listen to a different, smaller, stiller voice, as Amos did. He said, I'm no prophet, you know, I do this and that, but I'm not the prophet, but this is what I've been told to do. And he spoke to the king and is told, go earn your bread telling other nations what they should do. Don't come here. So here's a question for you. How do you think John the Baptist felt toward Herod? Was he loving? You ever had somebody tell you the truth that you didn't want to hear about you? About what you were doing and hate them for it, but also be puzzled? And that's the weird, strange relationship between John the Baptist and Herod. He is so conflicted. And the big question is, after making choice after choice in his life, when he's given the opportunity to make the one choice that could save his soul, he doesn't. He is crushed by the peer pressure of his friends that he's invited to this party, of his lust for his brother's wife, which really translated power, not love. Herodias's anger at John the Baptist presuming to tell Herod that what they were doing was wrong according to the law. But I think John the Baptist understood that it was not out of love that these two were together. It was power. And power does not like to be told no. Herod went down and visited John in the prison. And it troubled him, it puzzled him, it befuddled him, but he kept going back down. What did John say to him that both attracted him and caused puzzlement and confusion in his moral life? Because he had a moral life. But it was based upon choices he'd made over and over and over again. Now, it's interesting that Jesus, prior to this little episode that Mark drops in the middle of these two events, where Jesus has gone to his hometown, preached a sermon, and people went, hey, who is this guy? Hey, aren't you Mary's kid? They were not happy with his presentation. and they scorned him. And there was an interesting line that said, and he couldn't do many acts of faith with that congregation, with that his own people. And that's where we get that line about a prophet's without honor except in his hometown. His hometown doesn't see him as a prophet, just as Amos. Amos at least admits, hey, I'm no prophet to my own people. We don't do well with prophets, do we? It's a puzzling thing. John gave Herod an opportunity. John was a baptizer. He was a dumper. He was a dunker. He liked to go out into the Jordan River and invite people to come and pass through the River Jordan, confessing their sins and repenting, changing their way of thinking. In AA, you hear the term stinking thinking. We are all inflicted culturally by stinking thinking, just as I learned it when I played football or played on any other competitive team, that there was something inherently wrong with the other guys, and that it was a righteous battle for us to win. And winning was about overpowering, not loving. Now, personality-wise, I was raised here. I didn't get behind all that. When I was a junior in high school, we were playing Redondo at El Camino. It was a big deal. It had been raining the week before. The end of the game, we were behind, but we had the ball and we had a chance to win, and there was a timeout that wasn't called, and we ended up losing the game. And a fight broke out. On the field, but not only on the field, from the stands, cheerleaders are fighting. Drill teams are fighting. Coaches are running out onto the field and getting slugged. The police had to be called to break it all up. We had to be let out at different times by the police department to get onto our buses to leave the stadium. A high school football game. Choices that we make. And I'll never forget this, because I felt like the odd guy. I stood on the sideline. And somebody said, why didn't you get in there and defend our team? And I said, if you can't win according to the game and its rules and the breaks of that game, then that's it. You don't take it to the street. You don't start mobbing one another. Where did I learn that? Where did I learn that kind of a choice? I felt odd. And the only place I can imagine learning that is where you're sitting as a little kid. I guess I was paying attention. Every Sunday we come through that back door normally. And we're given an opportunity to renew our crossing of the Jordan River, our baptism vows, our promises to live differently, to make different choices. John the Baptist, I believe, loved Herod and offered Herod a chance. We all need to make choices about who we're going to be. This is the place where I learned the most important way of deciding. I hope that's true for you too. Amen.